The fixtures are out today, and so we're going to have chat about the current setup, current transfer gossip, current season. This is me, Harry Brady. This is another podcast from the people behind CelticUnderground.net. So I am joined now. The last few podcasts we've done have been sort of series one, so it's been the 10-year-old podcast, and we just started Anthony Murray's Celtic Lifetime 11 podcast. So I thought we'd do one talking about the current topics of the day and get one of the people that I just mentioned there, Anthony Murray, on. How you doing, Anthony?
Excellent. Fine.
And,
good.
And we have a special guest. In fact, both the guests are special because they are both from overseas, but we have a special guest from the heartland of the current Western world's COVID-19 breakout. We have Lawrence Donegan.
How you doing, Harry? Anthony, good to talk to you, pal.
You too.
So, how's the weather in San Francisco? Oh, no, San Francisco, in California, just back from Sausalito. How's the weather?
The weather is, I'm looking out, it's actually been quite cold, quite cold. We're all moaning about it. We were down in, it sounds really, what a dick thing to say. Anyway, we're down in Monterey, as you do last weekend, bitching about the weather, the fog. Not complaining, though, but we are in a current state of terrified, I would say. Not wanting to do anything. It's, we got an email from the school this morning about, you know, going back to school. I mean, come on. We're slightly isolated up here in Northern California, but down in the south, down in LA County, you know, it's off the charts. So I think things are going to batten down again. Current state, happy to be here, but slightly terrified of the COVID. Weather is rubbish. The San Francisco Giants are back in spring training, though, I noticed this morning, so that will be some sort of live sport. Baseball's coming back, and that's all that matters.
So, my other guest...
I haven't contributed to the COVID chat. I just want to throw Slovakia's stats in there. Slovakia wins Europe's COVID-19 Champions League. Slovakia have absolutely nailed it. Masks on day one, covering yourself in alcohol, you know, disinfectant on the way into Lidl, day one. I mean, it's all going to blow up after the summer because they're pretending they've saved it. But, you know, for the time being, they've done a great job.
Well, you even got into trouble for not wearing one when you were riding your bike.
I did. A policeman honked his horn at me one night. That's true.
Here, tell me this, Anthony. What's the view of America then? What people are looking at America from over there, and what they're thinking? Just mania, I guess.
They're surprisingly disengaged. You know, kids around the world are just staring at, you know, the Kardashians and Cristiano Ronaldo. You know, they don't really pay attention to Trump. I tell them there's this character that's worth paying attention to, but they don't really tune in. To be honest, Slovakia has its own farcical populist politicians as well, so they're as big a problem. And I teach most of their children.
So now that we've got the minor issue of COVID-19 dealt with, let's move on to the important things, which is Scottish football and Celtic transfer dealings, or lack thereof. So first up, in the it's like a new signing land, we have extended the loan deal for Mohamed Elianoussi. So, Anthony, are you happy with that?
Happier than I thought I would be. If I thought we were going to have to throw out a big chunk of cash to sign him properly, his injury record maybe would have scared me away from him, and I wouldn't have been completely comfortable with that. But the idea that we're just getting a very good player on loan for another year, who, you know, contributed a lot to when Celtic were at their very best last season, you know, October, November, I think that's a good bit of business, and glad to have him on board.
Lawrence?
Yep. I must admit, I wasn't that convinced when he started, but I guess that was just a fitness thing. But as Anthony said, he kind of moved into his, you know, groove, pace, power. He's more powerful, more direct Paddy Roberts or something like that. I really like him. My only thing is, where does Mikey Johnson get a game? I mean, El Yunusi would be a first pick, and I just wonder. I wonder what happened to Mikey Johnson. The other thing, you know, if he plays a 3-5-2, where does El Yunusi play? You know, it becomes quite crowded out in the flanks, doesn't it? I mean, there's a lot of names out there. So because you would assume that Griffiths and Edward would be the two, so where does El Yunusi fit in? Although, as I'm just saying, I'm just thinking, well, where he fitted in at Lazio, didn't he play off Edward against Lazio? So maybe Griffiths is, maybe he might be he might be on a shugly nail.
Might well be. I thought our best football in the season was when El Yunusi played. Then I thought our worst football was when we didn't play. And then I thought we played better football again when he moved to a 3-5-2, i.e. the only, either 3-5-2 or playing the system he played with El Yunusi. And the only bit that it didn't work was when he played the start of the season system, but without El Yunusi. If you get my point. And the other thing you mentioned about strikers, I saw today Klamala talking about he's put on 3.5 kilos of muscle.
Did you see it?
Yep.
I mean, it looked like, I don't know, you're a golfer, Anthony? I don't know.
I've been Bryson DeChambeau.
That's exactly it. Yeah. He is. I thought, I couldn't believe it when I saw Klamala. I looked at the pictures and I'm thinking, what? I'm that sad. I got up this morning. I woke up at 5:30, and first thing I do, Celtic, YouTube, whatever. And there's 3 minutes of Klamala at practice, and he looked quite good. But I was thinking, wonder what all these Polish mates think when they see these videos, because they sent him over, and they signed. You know, he was a highly rated prospect in January when we signed him, and he was. But he wasn't. He was quite skinny. And I wonder what his mates think of him now. I mean, he looks enormous. Not that he's tall, but he looks very, very strong.
He's done a Ryan Christie.
That's exactly what he's done.
He's built up, and he's top half. I know someone who knows Polish football. They've got a relative place, top flight Polish football. And I was speaking to him when we signed Klamala, and they said he's a good striker, but Polish football is really, really lightweight. I reckon it will take him 6 to 9 months to settle into Scottish football. So that would sort of back that up. Have you seen it? So what do you think of the pictures of him, apart from the fact he looks like DeChambeau?
Anthony. I've not seen these pictures. I saw I'd shaved his head. I saw that picture last week, and I thought he looked quite hard, so we'll go with that. But if he's actually come back and bulked up, yeah, because my concern was, you know, of what we'd seen him, I thought we'd just gone out and spent, you know, 3-4 million on a Polish Mark Burchill. And maybe in a parallel universe, Mark Burchill hit the gym at the right time and, you know, went on to be a great player. But if he's genuinely sorted his fitness out and comes back, and I think, was it McGregor was saying in an interview that he, you know, he was playing well in training or whatever, which obviously they're going to say stuff like that. But that's, you know, we've spent a bit of money on him, and like his stock was relatively decent when we got him. So fingers crossed, this is adding up to a new striker.
Yeah, I thought it was quite significant, Brian, that they put him up for media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he was that, you don't see Bio doing much media, do you, for instance? I thought that was quite, and it was McGregor last week, and I thought that, I didn't think, wow, but I thought that pricked my ears up. And as you say, that he looks hard in those pictures from last week. But the fact that they did a 3-minute YouTube video exclusively on him, then he did the, how sad am I, by the way? I'm talking here, I'm thinking, what the fuck are you doing with your life? They did a Twitter Q&A today as well. So
did they answer your question?
I forgot, Luke. It was the usual drivel. I didn't, you know, who's your favourite Kardashian? And but if you remember, go back to El Yunusi, that we played that Lazio, the game in Rome, that was almost like an accident. We played a 3-5-2. And El Yunusi, I think we changed mid-game. I can't remember the specifics, but I think we changed very early in the game from a 4-3-3 or whatever to a 3-5-2. And El Yunusi sat just behind Edward in the two. And I wonder if Lennon's looking at that and thinking, you know, that might be his first pick. He clearly loves Elianusi. I mean, that's the power. Yeah. That's the thing. And you know, he's not light. He's not light Mikey Johnson quick, but he's certainly quick enough. He's just a quality player, isn't he? I mean, what did Southampton pay for him? Was it 15 million? I mean,
mm-hmm. So. I still go back to that game, you know, the one that was all over YouTube when we got him on last year, played at the Etihad, where he really did look like an A-list footballer, you know, gave Man City's fullbacks a runaround, you know, strong, big, fast. Well, he's not even that big, but he looks big because he travels quickly. If we get 12 months out of him, that'll be 10 in a row guaranteed. To be honest, I think 10 in a row is guaranteed without him. So, yeah.
By the way, have you seen the YouTube videos, again, from training? So they show these games, and I don't know who's in goals, but it looks like somebody they've got off the street. It's like, you know, it looks like the IT consultant at Lennox Town or something. They've just drafted in a body. I'm thinking, I'm watching that and thinking, ooh, 10 in a row. And I don't know who's in goals, but it's not a goalkeeper. So we're obviously short in that department.
Well, so we are short in that department. So we've let Craig Gordon go, and then it doesn't look like Fraser Foster's coming. So, Lawrence, what's your thoughts on Big Fraser?
It's an interesting one, that, isn't it? We don't know what happened.
Well, so... This is what I have been told by more than three people, in fact. So and they're all unconnected. So we agreed a deal with Southampton on a year's loan with an option to buy at the end of the 12 months. That was agreed with Southampton. We more or less picked up the phone to Fraser Foster and said, "So you coming then? I quite fancy staying here actually." And we were quite taken aback. And the two issues are, he thinks he's got a chance of playing first team football for Southampton. They're letting Gunn go. And also, the next 2 years at Southampton, he will earn £9 million.
Yeah. I was astonished at those numbers. 92 grand a week.
Yeah.
That's frightening, isn't it?
They put him onto that when Man United were interested in him a couple of years ago.
Well, two things spring to mind. One, what an ungrateful bastard. Basically, it's true. We brought him up, revived him again, and we took him off the scrap heap from Newcastle, turned him into a goalkeeper, got him his move. He fucked up, came back to Celtic, Stevie Woods again, turned him into a goalkeeper, and he's off again. I mean, if I was Stevie Woods, I'd be quite gutted. But secondly, I mean, this is not blind faith. I mean, this is evidential. Stevie Woods will talk. That's why people are talking about Joe Hart. I wouldn't mind Joe Hart because I think Stevie Woods could turn him round. I think he's that good as a goalkeeping coach. If Joe Hart wanted to be improved, Joe Hart had a, you'll like this, Brian, Joe Hart had a growth mindset, I think Stevie Woods would turn him round.
Anthony?
On Joe Hart, I'm really not a fan. No, and I was an early adopter for that opinion. And really, really disliked Joe Hart for a long, long time. I think it was the first time Man City won the FA Cup. So, you know, the first trophy of this modern era, I guess. And, you know, they shoved a mic in Joe Hart's face and... That guy that gets sent sleeping with the underage woman, guy from Middlesbrough, Adam Johnson.
Yeah.
Adam Johnson?
Yeah.
It was those two. And I just remember thinking both kids, you know, just, like right there and then. And I remember thinking at the time, I would never want to be in the same room as either of these. And I remember I even tweeted about it when Guardiola got the job. I tweeted that video. And I imagined Guardiola saw that interview at the time and thought, if I ever have to go work at Man City, that guy's first out the door. And he was. And if Pep Guardiola writes you off without even giving you a chance, you know, you must, there must be something to it. So I'm not a fan of Joe Hart at all, and hope he comes nowhere near the building.
Well, I'm told that neither of those are on Neil Lennon's shopping list.
Hart or
David Marshall?
Adam Johnson.
Adam Johnson.
Well, the thing with Hart, though, you're dead right, Anthony, but the, what was the hair thing? All that nonsense. He was England captain. I mean, it was just absurd. So I think that just went to his head. But inside there, if you get a project, the kind of ability's there, and it's just been fogged up by all this other crap. And if you can clear the fog away and get down to the basics, I think, you know, he's a decent shot stopper. I mean, certainly better than Craig Gordon as a shot stopper. I mean, they're probably equal in terms of distribution. But if you say, Brian, that he's Harry... whatever your name is. but if he's not, then what's the real point in discussing if he's not on the shopping list? I tell you, I looked at last night the Greek boy in Greece. You go on, he looks decent. Again, it was one of those 5 minutes great saves of whatever his name is. He looks like Craig Gordon plus. He's called The Wall in Greece as well, by the way.
I mean,
I just don't know what he's...
The Southampton thing, I can see... the sympathy I have for him, you're saying about he's ungrateful, whatever. He's an elite athlete who will have incredible self-belief, who will believe that if he goes back to Southampton, he's better than the other keepers. He can play first-team football, and if he's playing first-team football... No, this will be his belief. If he's playing first-team football, he's got a chance of playing for England again. That'll be... Because that's the way you've got to think of yourself to be able to perform at that level. So that's...
Yes. But again, the managers didn't even get put on the bench. You might be kidding.
No, to be fair, he's not been there with the current manager.
Oh, is he not? Sorry. Oh, well, I'm not keeping up. I'm too busy watching Celtic training videos on YouTube to keep up with the affairs of Southampton.
Sending Twitter questions to Patrick Kamara.
Well, I do. Armstrong's playing well. He's getting a game now. I saw that.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. I always look at the Southampton, you know, scores or lineups or whatever. So who will be signing then, Harry?
Well, that's just it. I don't know if we're signing anyone. I think the big concern. I think if we hadn't had the coronavirus, we would be definitely. I think we would have kept. Elliot Nussey, I don't know what the situation would have been with Fraser Foster. I think we would have kept Edward and we would have signed players. I think Peter Lawwell's feeling exceptionally, my guess is he's feeling exceptionally conservative at the moment with the uncertainty of knowing how much money's in the bank for how long. And that would be a real problem for us being able to bring people in.
We need a goalie.
We do.
We need a goalie.
I mean, who would you... you tweeted about a player, Anthony.
The Slovak keeper.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a boy that's come through at Slovan Bratislava. His name's Grief. I forget his first name. But, you know, he's like, you know, 22, that sort of Courtois shape, you know, big, tall, thin, already played in Europe. By all accounts, the heir apparent to, you know, Dubravka, who plays for Newcastle United, mm-hmm. who's been one of the best keepers in England since he signed, and a guy, again, who played a blinder against Scotland for Slovakia, and I tweeted, Celtic, go and sign that guy, you know, 6 months later, nobody does anything about it, and he ends up, you know, one of the best keepers in England. So this guy's, you know, the next to come along in Slovakia, at least, and you'd pick him up for... I mean, he's always linked with Porto, so it's not that other clubs aren't looking at him, but, you know, this guy's going to turn out to be a Champions League keeper, so why are we not, you know, the team that he signs for? You know, it's just like when we signed Boric. You know, these guys are out there. I reckon you pick up... Remember there was that photo of Van Dijk and Simunovic as the under-21 captains for their respective Croatia and the Netherlands?
Mm-hmm.
And we do have a decent record for going out and signing, you know, Thomas Ronje from Ayer from Norway. You know, we do have a decent record for going and picking up the odd European youth star. I think there must be more of them out there. And that's what we should always be looking for. You know, relatively affordable. And maybe that's what Klamala is, you know. But in terms of a goalkeeper, I'd happily go. I don't mind the idea that we cut our cloth and we start giving our youth players a chance. And if it's one of the young goalkeepers that starts the season, I'd be happy with that.
Lawrence, are you winning? Are you winning?
Well, you're the obviously you have vast goalkeeping experience, Harry. What's happened to Conor Hazard? What's the word on him? I mean, he fits. You hear or you read all the stuff about what Neil Lennon's preferred profile for a goalkeeper is. He walks into a room and everybody's like, oh my goodness. Conor Hazard, look, I mean, he's got the physical attributes. He's six foot.
Well, I mean, I remember.
He's 6 foot five, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 6 foot five. And I remember being told when he was 18 that Brendan really liked him because he was as good a shortstopper as Craig Gordon at the time.
Uh-huh.
And Craig Gordon was on Radio Scotland. Did you hear him about a week ago, 10 days ago? He was in Radio Scotland. It was two interesting things. One was they were asking him about distribution, and he's kicking the ball out. You should go and listen to it. And he said that the training he did under Brendan Rodgers for distribution was, at the beginning, he didn't really get any training on it. But then when he got back in the team after De Vries, he'd gone away and he'd watched teams who build from the back and what their goalkeepers do so that you knew what to do. And then Brendan Rodgers had taken him aside and said, this is where you play the ball. If we are playing it short, you play it here, here, here and here. See if then the defender is the outfield player. They've got the ability to control it and take it. See if you play it to them and they don't do it, I'll drop them and I'll put someone else in their place. You put the ball where I tell you to put the ball. It's up to them as the outfield players to control it and play with it and move it on. Was the feedback he got from Brendan. But he also talked about Ross Doohan and Conor Hazard and said that both of them had all the attributes you'd be looking for. They've got the ability, but actually the thing to be able to become a top-class goalkeeper, once you've got the attributes, it's all in your head. It's whether you've got the mindset to do it.
Age as well is a thing. Do we play a 22-year-old goalkeeper, Anthony? It doesn't fit a Neil Lennon profile. He just, you know what he's like? You know, he likes great players, but is he going to trust a 21, 22-year-old goalkeeper?
I was surprised to see that Doohan and Hazard are both 22. I thought one of them was a generation younger, you know, 3 or 4 years, but they're both the same age and both at an age where they should be first team players by now. And if they're not, you know, they're not going to kick on now, they're not going to kick on. That said, that McGovern boy, you know, hung around for Celtic forever and then went on to be a squad player in the Premier League, went to European Championships for Northern Ireland and stuff like that. So you never know which route a player's career is going to go. David Marshall, Iker Casillas, Buffon, they all got a chance at 18. So I have no issue with a keeper getting a chance. You know, how are you ever going to find out if they let you down if you don't give them a chance? I mean, it might be a disaster, but then you just move on to the next one.
My only thing is that Foster, the last 6 months of last year, the last 4 months, he spoiled us.
Yeah.
You know, whoever we get, no matter how, it's just not going to be as good, is he? He's just not. I mean, Foster was phenomenal.
Your point, Lawrence, about what Lennon's wanting in a goalkeeper, I just get the impression Lennon wants a mature man. Yeah. In goals, because that goalkeeper's got to be in. He's got to be the boss of the four other defenders in front of him. I think that's what Lennon's looking for, and that's really difficult for a 22-year-old to come into a first team and start bossing around Julian and whoever else is going to be playing Julian Ayer and whoever else is going to be playing at the back for us next season.
Yeah, tricky one.
Yep.
That's why we need a. As you can see, that's why we need a good. I was going to say good recruitment, but our recruitment's pretty good. But I know of somebody in the you know, Croatia, Bosnia region and that, the Baltics, we could get somebody there. You've always put people, you're always putting people into the club.
Harry,
come on.
Yes. Yeah.
Get Anthony a job, come on.
No, he's burnt his bridges there, haven't you, Anthony? You've already had your toe in the Celtic water and pissed them off.
Yeah, people hate me there. They read my blog.
So, next thing is, apparently the Celtic store website nearly crashed today because you could pre-order the training kit. So, Anthony, Celtic training kit, first up, what's wrong with yellow?
This was the thing. I've been looking at pictures of different things and I've been thinking, oh, that's nice, that's not, that's nice. And this, half of them have got a yellow, you know, the right-hand side's white and green, the left side's got a yellow stripe. And some of the gear that I'd looked at, and that negates me, I'm not going to buy it. And in my yellow stripe on it, because I just think it ruined. And then it's funny that the stuff they're wearing in training, you know, so it was like a picture of Patrick Cromala running down the wing, and it was like these green shorts with white stripes. I was like, oh, they're nice. I could wear them for floating around the house. Or even they're ruined. You know, so all this, I don't know what, yellow does nothing for me. And the thing is, the guy that designed that, right, the guy that's going to buy it with a white and the yellow stripe would have bought it with just a white. Maybe I'm the only guy on the planet that's actively not going to buy it because of the yellow stripe. I don't know. But, yeah, I'm not digging the yellow.
I think you are. Lawrence, what's your thoughts on all the training gear? It seems to be the kids are loving it. It's the feedback I'm getting as an old man.
Well, I'm not. What struck me about that story about the website crashing, I'm guessing that's somebody in the marketing department, the PR department, and they've put that out thinking, this is a great story. I'm looking at that story, I'm thinking, can you not buy enough bandwidth so the website doesn't crash? I mean, so the website crashes. Well, if that's true, you're just losing sales. People get peed off. It's true. I mean, it's not a good story. That's not a good story. I'm sorry. Just fix a website. Get a website that doesn't crash. Sell as many kits as possible. As for the, I mean, training kits, come on. Interesting this, though. Remember years ago when the Nike, I think there was discontent at the club about this. Nike did a black, it was really cool, actually. It was a black zipper or whatever, and it had the tricolour on the on the neck.
Yeah.
And Lennon wore it, and it disappeared very, very quickly. I think people inside the club were like, hang on a minute, because I don't think, I mean, I'm guessing, but I don't think they knew much about it. Nike just turned up one day with a box on them. And so, but I was interested with the Adidas. I mean, is it the colours of the Irish tricolour, do you think? The yellow one?
Nike one was a very obvious green, white, and orange, you know, tricolour.
Yeah, okay.
Whereas this is just like the, remember Strachan's last season, Mowbray's season, had a yellow trim, and they were ultimately a disastrous season. So the one time we've put a bit of yellow on a home kit, it's come back to haunt us, you know?
I'm just not sure what it is you don't like about yellow. Is it just yellow within the green and white, within the green and white hoop strip, or do you not like yellow at all?
No issues with a yellow away strip. We look like Brazil. That's great. But green and white is just so magnificent. Why would you dirty it? Why? Look at the Lisbon Lions. Imagine the Lisbon Lions had a yellow piping. It just wouldn't be as iconic.
Here, I don't know if he's coming up for 15 now, so I don't know, every year, and we won't be backless, but every summer we go back, Granny would give the wee man some cash, and we go to the Celtic Superstore and just splash it all. But I'm an old man, right? I go in and go, oh, look at this, buy this, it's brilliant. It all looks brilliant. You know, and he's like, whatever. So it looks brilliant. I think it all looks brilliant. Adidas is, you know, again, for people of our generation, it's quite an iconic. Remember when you were at high school, you remember the three-stripe T-shirt? I mean, that was the absolute apex of fashion. I mean, it really was. And then you had late 80s Adidas Gazelle and all that. Remember the Beastie Boys?
Yeah.
Green Gazelles. So it's a brilliant to get Adidas. And I think the kit, you know, such as an opinion of a guy my age matters, I think the kit looks brilliant. If I was in the superstore with the wee man, I'd be trying to get him to buy everything.
I should say, I went to the World Cup in 2006 and I was in Munich. And I remember being in like the Bayern Munich shop and really falling in love with Adidas then, because their gear really is quite nice. You know, it's studly, and the Adidas shirt isn't going to fall apart.
Yeah,
right.
So it is cool to know that we have some nice stuff coming out. And it's annoying to be at an age where, A, I can afford it, but B, I really shouldn't be buying it. So it's this weird dilemma. It's like, do I need to buy a Celtic home shirt, you know, just shy of my 40th birthday? I really don't.
We've grown about 9 inches in the last 3 weeks or whatever. So he's getting out, he's throwing out all his stuff. And the only ones he kept were all these Celtic strips. And I was looking at them, and some of the material, like the Nike one, was a nice strip. Remember the 125th anniversary strip? Beautiful strip, but the material was rubbish.
Yeah.
So you're right about the Adidas stuff. You go in the Adidas shop, and the strips are, you know, they're good. They're nice. Really nice. I thought it was significant, Harry, that the club were very generous to New Balance as they were kicking them out the door, weren't they?
Yeah.
Thanks for a glorious 5 years.
Well, and whenever the Adidas deal expires, you're going to be out to tender again. So, you know, there's only a selection. There's only Nike, Adidas, Puma, New Balance, and obviously Castore, who are the sort of premium kit manufacturer brands that you've been wanting.
Can I just say, I was laughing. This is, people don't pay attention. The Castore are doing a player's edition. You can buy, you know, the kit, the actual, people actually maybe don't know this, but see the kits you buy in the shop, they're actual replicas, and then there's the strips that the players wear. You can do that for every single kit and every single cup. And meanwhile, this is like a big splash across the daily record. You can buy a Castore player's jumper. Well, you can do that for anybody. The Adidas player's kit. I'm a bit of an expert because I've got a kid in that age. You know, the Adidas player's kits are absolutely gorgeous. And for an extra 25, 30 quid, I mean, it's almost worth it if you can afford it. They're great. The Adidas kit's brilliant kit. And they only do great clubs, like Club America. I'm trying to think of Man United. No, but they do really big clubs. They don't do diddy clubs.
The entire MLS.
Well, you're riding on Real Salt Lake. Is that what's going on?
But to be fair though, that's because what you're effectively doing is you're grouping a whole league there to be of the same standard as one team. So in terms of the premium branding, what they've actually said is that whole league, we are trying to premium brand it up. I tell you the one thing that really struck me, I saw a thing, it was somebody taking a picture of Juventus, Celtic, Man United, Bayern Munich strips. And the thing that struck me was the one thing that we really need to work on is they all had premium brands on the front of the jersey in terms of the sponsorship. Yeah. So it was all Adidas jerseys, and they were all, not only did they have the premium brand making the jersey, they had the premium, a blue chip company sponsor, and we had Daffabet.
Why can we not get a premium blue chip sponsor?
I'm not in the middle of it, right? So it's dead easy to harp from the sidelines about it, but my gut feel is we've got Scottish-based people with a parochial Scottish attitude of, the typical Scottish attitude of, we can't do that, we can't achieve that. And I've continually said, if we aim for Google, we might not get Google on the jersey, but you get a better chance of getting the brand level, you know, Firefox or whatever. You get the best. Yeah. You get the better chance of getting the brand below Google.
No, hang on a minute. Can you just imagine it? Hey, Peter, we've got Alta Vista. We've got Alta Vista. No, we've got Ask Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves. Brilliant. Yes. But you've got a better chance, MySpace or whatever, you've got a better chance of getting the next tier down if you go for the top, as opposed to going for Daffabet, which is the 21st century version of all the cigarette sponsors that you know, used to do all the snooker and the darts in the 80s. You know, as I say, it's easy to say, because I'm not there trying to sell the Celtic jersey. It was just really noticeable in this picture when the jerseys were there and the branding of it. But
it's the strangest thing, when I moved out here, Slovan Bratislava's sponsor is the equivalent of Ladbrokes or William Hill, which happens to be in Slovakia the word Nike. It's got a little accent on the E or the I. It's Nike, I think they would say it. So they had an Adidas kit with the word Nike in giant letters on the front, which looked pretty weird. But yeah, it was Daffabet, it was Ladbrokes. It's just the gambling company.
So that's the kit. So I think it's they're doing it very late this year, because you can order it from the first team strip from the 10th of July, but you can't get it until I think it's the 6th of August or something. It must be delayed because of the coronavirus and the manufacturing of it, obviously, because it's probably made in China, and obviously at the beginning of the year they had other considerations.
Not the players' edition, that's hand stitched down the Gallagate.
Yes. So the other financial thing around the club is, obviously we're going to be playing games behind closed doors, has been the whole furore about people getting refunds on their season book and the principle of season books themselves. So you guys are both abroad, so it's a wee bit different, because you're already subscribing to Celtic TV, or not. You're maybe doing an illegal stream and not paying for it. So
that's not me.
What's from afar? Because it's interesting, because you're from afar. Have you been seeing the whole season book furore, Anthony?
I'm glad to not feel guilty about it, you know, by being distant from it. But then also glad that in all the years I lived in Edinburgh and Glasgow and went to as many games as I could, I never had a season ticket. But maybe it was those glory years when you didn't need to. I literally always just went and bought a ticket. Maybe once in a blue moon, a mate or a cousin had a spare ticket. But I would just buy individual tickets for every game I went to. I've never been, not since my dad had, you know, a season ticket for, you know, him and one of his children. There was five of us, you know, drawing lots to see who got to go to games. I'm distant from that, the guilt of not feeling the need to pay for something that you're not really getting. I can completely understand why people would be reluctant to shell out so much money for something that they're not really getting, particularly at this time when people are hard up, and many people are.
Lawrence?
I see a lot of it, actually. I'm on some WhatsApp streams and people are mad about the way the club have communicated on this whole business. Some quite worrying numbers. Again, maybe I'm blurting stuff I shouldn't be blurting out, but the number of refunds that were asked for is massive by all accounts, way above what the club wanted or expected, and certainly in comparison to Espanyol across the road, many more Celtic fans sought a refund on their season ticket. Now, I'm slightly so far away, slightly confused at why people are angry, but sufficient number of people I trust are angry, then the club have done something wrong the way they communicated it. So that's the first thing. Secondly, things are hard for people. So people haven't renewed their season ticket. You can't blame them. And again, the numbers, again, who knows? You know, again, Espanyol are shouting from the rooftops, all sorts of numbers. I mean, I've heard that we still sold more season tickets than them, despite all the furore. But the third thing, from a personal point of view, I've never had a season ticket as well, Anthony, ever in my whole life. Only ever just bought tickets. I've not stayed in Glasgow sufficiently for a sufficient amount of time, but whenever I'm home, I'll get a ticket, buy a ticket, or scrounge a ticket off somebody. But this year, I'm in a lucky enough position that I could maybe afford to get a season ticket. So I go on the website, and I think, right, I'll buy a couple of season tickets. I won't use them, but the club, and you know, I will use them. I'll give them to mates back in Glasgow or whoever. But the club, but just to get make sure the club gets some money. So I go on the website, and I get invited to join the waiting list, so which is fine. And then so, first thing, talking about crappy websites. I mean, talk about seeing you deal. Not that I'm an expert, a slight knowledge of this.
You do have a bit of an insight into these types of things,
right? But you know, if you've got a commercial, you know, you've got commerce on the internet. The whole thing is to get the customer in. You have to reduce the friction, right? No friction, one click. That's the whole joy of Amazon, or the whole secret is the one click. Two clicks, boom, you're out. It's done. See, trying to go on the waiting list for a Celtic season ticket. It's just been a nightmare. It's been an absolute nightmare. Three times I've tried now. Got thrown off once. The second time, I got offended because they wanted £10 to go on for the privilege of going on the waiting list. So I got over my offence at that, and I went back on again. But then I have to register for a number or something. So I go on and I register for the number, which is a pain in the arse. And then I go, okay, I'll put my number in. That's one season ticket. And then for season ticket number two, I'll just put the same. No, can't do that. I've got to register somebody else. So I've now, to get two season tickets, or to get on the waiting list for two season tickets, I have to register two separate people. Why? I don't understand that. So that pissed me off again. Again, it's just the amount of friction. Maybe I'm easily pissed off, but it's just the amount of friction is just ridiculous. I'll go there, I'll give you the £20, which offends me, but I'll give it to you anyway, and just let me sign up for the waiting list. I just don't understand it. You know, as little friction as possible. And maybe it's just me, because it's claiming I've got 17,000 on the waiting list. I'm not sure that's true, because when I went to register, I was number 9,951 or something. So I'm assuming I'm at the end of the queue at 9,000, 10,000. So, again, I don't know. But anyway, I'm going to buy, well, I might not get them. I probably won't. I hope I do, because then I can give the season tickets to a couple of people who might not be able to afford them. I mean, I know some guys that will know people who can't, so great. But, so there's my slight rant about season tickets. I mean, I hope, oh, sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say, I think, in my experience of dealing with Celtic, one of the things I have found that sort of frustrates me about them, they're a bit like interacting with the civil service or a big corporate that's very unwieldy, and there's lots of compliance things to do. And I mean, maybe it's because I'm a small business, it's dead easy for me, you know, I make the decisions, so that's that. But everything's takes ages. So 18 months ago, I remember having a conversation with someone at Celtic about the fact that they knew the website was old and clunky. They had employed a company to do, and they had this fantastic website that would be getting rolled out last summer, because they obviously have to do things in the pre-season. So it didn't happen last summer. And my only guess would be, because probably this, and again, from my interaction with Celtic, I would say a lot of this comes down to Peter's a micromanager. And so I've worked in a corporate environment with a micromanaging person. An example of what the delays a micromanaging person can get. I remember having a conversation with someone when was the World Cup in Germany? Was it 2006? Yeah. So this was in the coming up to the 2006 World Cup, and I came up with a campaign that, that our company could do during the 2006 World Cup, and I suggested it in the February. And when it got to the June and the World Cup was kicking off, that's when I realised it wasn't going to happen, because the decision maker, who loved the idea, but he was so fearful that any... And he reminds me of Peter, actually, this guy. He was so fearful that anything that he did that wasn't perceived as being the perfect decision was a sign of weakness. And so sometimes wouldn't make a decision on something in case it was the wrong decision. And I wouldn't be surprised if the if simple things like the delay in that in the website is wholly down to Peter needs to sign it off, and he takes ages to sign stuff off because he's a micromanager.
Well, I'm just listening, running myself back in my head. I just sound like a dick, right? But again, it's just, why can you not spend 25 minutes doing this for your club? You know, and that's fine. But you know, why can't I do it in 5 minutes? Boom, I'll be excited. I'll just get it done and then that's it.
But, Lawrence, it's for the same reason. If you do a Google search, do you ever go to page two?
No.
You do a Google search, if the thing you're looking for doesn't come up on page one, you redo the words and you do another. Nobody goes page two, page three, page four and, say, yeah. and thinks, I'll eventually find this website I'm looking for. You redo the words and you, because that's the way we all are online. We want bang, bang, bang.
And maybe the fault's with us. Again, the loyalty is so strong, I guess. But I don't want... I can't take my loyalty for granted. I mean, they've got it, you know, unrelenting forever. But it'd be nice to, you know... It doesn't take much to get a really smooth, frictionless website. Just as it doesn't take much to get a website that doesn't crash on the day that you're selling the training kits. It's just little things. You take great pride. You go on the website and you get on the waiting list for a season ticket and it takes 5 minutes. You're like, wow, my club's on top of this. Anyway, as I say, I sound like a dick, but you know, people are there are bigger things to worry about in the world. Sorry, go on, Anthony.
Brian, my whole view on this might change when they rebadge my Celtic TV as an overseas season ticket and match the price. Then yeah. You'll hear Mr. Angry from me.
Yeah. But a lot of this is...
Until that day, the Celtic TV I can afford.
Yeah, I've had a long and tortured relationship with Celtic TV.
But then what you're highlighting is a lot of the challenges and the dilemmas for the club that I have a lot of sympathy for. We're going for totally. 10 in a row. It costs a lot of money to run a big football club like ours. We don't have the TV revenue, and we rely heavily on matchday revenue from the supporters in terms of season books and money they spend. So obviously, every game at Celtic Park, I think it's something like £1.50 a head is the profit that Celtic make in terms of all the other stuff that goes on. So that's gone from games not being there. And then you've got the season book. I understand why people are sitting there going, well, why am I paying £500, £600, £700 to watch it on the television? Equally, I can understand also why somebody's saying, why if I'm in the UK, do I need to pay £600 to watch it on a stream through Celtic TV? And if I picked up and got on a plane and flew to California, it would cost me a fraction of that price to watch the same TV coverage. Yeah. But I also understand why the club can't turn around and say, right, okay, we'll give you all this for nothing. Because just to let you know, we're selling in Cham, we're selling Edward, we're selling Christopher Ayer, because that's the cost of doing all this. When people have been getting vociferous online about it, I can't, because I can see why the person's getting vociferous and angry, and I can see why Celtic are not being Charlie Chuckaway with it. I can see both sides of the argument. The issue seems, for a lot of people, seems to be the style of messaging, the way they've done it.
Yeah. We're all messaging experts these days, though, aren't we?
Yes, exactly. The other thing I think they've been really bad at, getting back to your point, you sort of touched on there, Anthony, about the watching it on Celtic TV, they're not very good at selling features and benefits. And what I mean by that is, they told everybody, and we're getting Sunset and Vine to produce it. Well, what does that matter? Unless you then explain to people why it's a good thing to have an external production company to be producing the TV product and explaining to everybody about it. But,
that disappeared, that whole Sunset and Vine. It was a one day, and I've never heard anything else about it. I mean, does it mean that Chris Sutton's going to be on every week? He'd be great.
It's more down to the production values.
Right.
Of the actual quality of the picture, quality of the audio, and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if you, what have you been thinking of the, have you been seeing any of the empty stadium games, Anthony?
Yeah, I tried watching them. The Germans were the first back, weren't they?
And yeah.
Just because you're so deprived of football, it seemed like an exciting thing to do. Very quickly kind of lost interest in that. And then I've basically, it's annoying because I've managed to prolong the life of this laptop by only using legitimate Celtic TV. So this has been quite clean and pure and working. And I've noticed that 2 weeks into your revisiting vip.box.eu/dodgyfootball.com, all these, and my laptop's just dying, you know? And it's just that, you know, it's all that crap. So I have been watching it. I'm militantly against the fake noises. People say, "Oh, I'm uncomfortable listening to the empty stadium." It's like, well, it is an empty stadium. That's life. You're living a lie with these fake songs getting. I don't know if they're pumped into the stadium or just pumped on top as a track on the feed. I don't know how it works.
I heard a guy on, I only caught the last 2-3 minutes of it, a guy on the radio talking about it. So it's EA Sports, the noise effects that they do for the FIFA games. There's a guy in a studio. It's not in the stadium because English TV production in particular, they like the noise of players kicking the football to be really loud. So they have 50 microphones around the edge of the pitch to pick up the noise of kicking the ball. But if they fed it through the stadium, there'd be too much echo in the sound effects because of that. So there's guys in the studio with all the various EA Sports sound effects for different actions happening in the game, and they are doing it real time, pressing buttons to make the noise at the right time, feeding it through. So, Lawrence, have you found the empty stadium games?
Well, before you do that, I thought it'd be quite good to do this on live on the podcast. I was trying to register for the wait list again. So, and I get there and I go, I've got myself in now. I'm number seat 7982, and then 7983. I've got to assign that to somebody. So I've got to register them for the website, and then I can go back in and then assign the seat to them. Anyway, that's a problem. There we are. There's a friction, real live friction. I haven't really watched that many games because the only team I really care about is Celtic, to be honest. It's true. Occasionally, though, kind of little bits. I saw the Paris Saint-Germain Borussia Dortmund game, you know, the second leg that was played.
Yeah.
Where they took the piss out of Haaland. There was no sound noises, and that was my favourite game I saw. I loved the sound of the ball hitting the net. I just don't like the. It seems, it's made for TV, I guess. It's not available here. At least I haven't seen it available over here. There's two channels back home. You can watch one with the sound and one without the sound.
You just press the red button and you can watch it either way.
Well, that facility might be available here, but I honestly haven't sort of seen enough of it. In fact, I mean, the Man City Liverpool game was on yesterday, and I didn't even bother. You know, I'm just waiting for my beloved Celtic to come back, to be honest. And then I won't. When the Celtic games come back on, I'll watch. If I can, I'll watch it without the crowd noises. If there's that option.
Do you know another interesting thing about how I didn't think I would be on this is when I first saw the English Premiership was coming back and they were going to play games at different times of the day. And I thought, well, what does it matter? Because there's no crowd to turn up, so it doesn't matter if you play it at 9 o'clock at night. But actually, it does matter, because there's now games happening at such weird random times that I can't be bothered trying to work out when the games might be on, so I'm just ignoring all of it. And I didn't realise how much I need the routine of games kick off at 3 o'clock on a Saturday, or if it's a midweek game, it kicks off at 7:45, or, you know, you need that certainty of it. And I suppose that's the only thing that Scottish football might benefit from, is the longer we leave it going back, the more we can watch the way others have done it and say, right, okay, well, that hasn't worked for them and that has worked. And
well, you just get the sense that they're just cramming it all in. The results don't really matter. We just need to play these games so we can get our money off Sky.
There's a bit
of that about it, isn't it? Just, you know, games every two games, five substitutes. I mean, what a mess.
I agree with you both in that, you know, you realise now at our age that Celtic are the only team you really want to watch. Do you know what I mean? But I've still got enough of an interest in football that I've started to realise that finally YouTube has kind of caught up with football. I don't know what it's like in terms of, you know, sometimes you click on a video and it says, oh, you can't see it in your country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it could be anything, it could be golf highlights, it could be tennis, whatever. But at least in Slovakia, the Italian Serie A, every Spanish game, you know, those highlights are up almost within an hour of the end of the game.
Yeah.
And even now I've noticed that the English Premier League doesn't have the rights, but all the individual clubs do. So if you follow Leicester City or Southampton, you get those goals pretty damn quick as well. So that's quite cool as a, you know, a passing fan that wants to see good goals. You know, if you see a headline, you know, Del Piero scored a wonder goal. Obviously, I need to update that reference. but yeah, that kind of thing, you know, you can look it up pretty easily, which is quite cool.
See, when you do, you go Google and you go Europa League scores, and they'll just list you. So it's a Thursday night, you go Europa League scores, and they all come up, and it's got, if the game's finished, I guarantee within 10 minutes of the game being finished, there's a video comes up alongside the lineups, the timeline. There's a 8 minute or 7 or 8 minute video of the highlights from the game. You know, I think UEFA understand, you know, this, you know, it's better to, it's great marketing.
Yeah.
You know, whereas, you know, stuff from, you know, the SPFL games on my Twitter timeline, they're all geo-blocked. I don't understand that. Don't you want the biggest audience possible to see it? So what if you're giving it away? That's why, you know, Celtic Goal, you know, the Twitter feed Celtic Goals. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Celtic rights department spend half their life chasing that boy around, trying to catch him. You know, and they shut him down, he opens up a week later under another feed. In fact, I see he's got another feed started this week. He just followed me, I followed him back. It's going to be brilliant. But he's the best advert that the club have got. Yeah, the club just, you know, it's not just Celtic. I mean, I guess it's an SPFL thing. Tell you the one thing with Celtic TV, I've noticed, Anthony, they've really cut down on the illegal streams, and, you know, and all the, you can see when you're watching it, all the, you know, the security things that have on the screen. The screen's covered in codes and
so pink, I mean, it's pink, just, yellow, black, pink,
it's amazing.
Pink, grey. Yeah. And occasionally your name pops up in the screen, Anthony Murray. He just floats around for a little while. What's going on here?
So, I don't know what we're talking about. But anyway, I can't wait. I mean, we're 2nd or 3rd of July or whatever. Yeah, it's going to be just counting the days, and I don't really care about what's going on. I just remember there's some, the Champions League's still got to go, isn't it? I mean, who cares?
How are our qualifiers going to work? Are they going to be one-off games?
Yeah, so for the first three...
Will it be a neutral venue or home and away?
No,
or luck of the draw. Or away?
Luck of the draw.
Luck of the draw.
Right.
Is it for the first three games?
First three, and then the final qualifying round is home and away. But the first three, luck of the draw. So we could get drawn away again three times in the qualifying.
We are absolutely 100% getting Slovan Bratislava this year, and nobody can go. That is, put your life savings on it. That is going to happen.
Are they any good?
Nah, shite.
That would have scared me in years past, Harry, because of our away record. I don't really mind it now. I think, you know, I think we've started to play quite well away. We're not a bad away team in Europe. You know, AAK Atmanjin, that's a bad example. But, you know, if I was a decent, you know, if I were, I'm trying to think of a team that's always, if I was PSV Eindhoven and I got Celtic at home and a one-off, I'd be quite scared if I was PSV. I'd be like, oh, shit, that's a bad draw. I wish you'd got an easier draw than that. So that doesn't scare me as much. Maybe I'm being overly optimistic.
And I've lost track. When do Rangers get to play their... the Europa League stuff that they got to play?
Are they not doing the same as the Champions League? You know, there's the mini Champions League in Portugal. Are they not doing the same for the Europa League?
There is the Europa League. I think it's the same. The Europa League's happening somewhere in a mini competition thing.
That, by the way, that could be 20-0. They could get beat 25-0. Can you imagine? Big Morelos waddling onto the pitch against a bunch of German boys who've been playing football for 3 months.
Which is, actually, do you know, that's one of the things that I've got a mate who's a Rangers fan, and that's his big concern, that they're going to be playing, like, they'll play that, and then they'll go to play qualifying rounds, and the whole of Europe is now playing football. We've only just this week in Scotland been allowed contact training, and the rest of Europe's playing football. And so his big concern is whenever, you know, both their wee mini tournament and then the qualifying rounds for European competition, they're going to be playing teams who've been playing for weeks. And we are too, obviously.
But you haven't seen the YouTube videos. We look awesome in training. James Forrest is flying, by the way. Flying.
Great hair.
What did you see his hair? I was like, yeah, his hair. So he's got long hair. Looks good.
So anything else that's going on around the club that we need to talk about, since we're talking about things that are going on just now?
Well, we've got to sign still. We need some fullbacks. We need some defensive cover, I think.
He signed the young boy Walsh, signed an extension. He signed like a 4 or 5 year deal.
But he's not moving into the first teams, but it's gone very quickly, is he?
Well, he played one game, didn't he?
Yeah, I think it was one game and one sub appearance or something. I can't remember. Left back's a problem. We need some sort of cover. The loss of Johnny Hayes. I mean, I'm not saying anything original here, but that was because he was a very good utility option down the left side.
I'm not going to agree with you here.
Really? Oh, I think I've heard you ranting about Johnny Hayes.
I see. On your, I'm not as an avid follower of Celtic Online as you are, Lawrence, but the bits I've seen, Greg Taylor's been quite a bit. Greg Taylor talking about how his training's going, and I've seen some stuff. So maybe Greg Taylor settled in to being a Celtic player.
Yeah. I know that he squished the 5K challenge. He beat everybody. I think he ran, was it 15 something or 16 minutes for 5K, which is pretty good, by the way.
That's insane,
And Ryan, I think this is, I am sad. Ryan Christie did it. And he ran a minute slower than Greg Taylor. And he said at the end of the run, I don't know what he's having for breakfast, but I need to get off the Cocoa Pops.
We also need a right back because obviously Maurice Bauer's gone away and we've got Frimpong.
And El Hamid.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about him because he's been injured most of his Celtic career, yeah.
He'll be interesting. That'll be fascinating, actually, the system. Because El Hamid, he'll fit in a three if we go three at the back. That's a very strong three. But then, you know, what happens? I guess you have to choose between Frimpong and Forrest. I mean, there's only one choice there for Lennon, you would imagine.
I thought it was interesting in the stuff at the end of the season on when Lennon was interviewed about winning the 9 in a row, and they talked about he's not massively into systems and formations, he's much interested in the players. Straight after he talked about how we played 4-3-3 in the first half of the season, then changed to 3-5-2. So, you know, I did think it was a bit of a contradiction, but the main thing that struck me was he said, But the young players, that's what they've grown up with. That's what they expect to be talked to about. So John Kennedy and Damien Duff at the time, they deal with the players on a Friday, and I just leave them to it to talk about the system and tactics. So obviously it does matter. So what's your thoughts about Strachan signing, Lawrence?
I'm going to pass that one on to Anthony. I know he's a big expert on Gavin Strachan.
I watched an interview with him yesterday.
Do you know what I thought was interesting? That he was at Peterborough with Alex Ferguson's son, Darren Ferguson's the manager there, and I thought the Ferguson and Strachan's didn't get along. Remember Ferguson wrote that about Strachan, called him a weasel in his book or something like that? And so obviously the enmity didn't go down a generation. I mean, who knows, you know? I'm sure he'll be fine. I mean, you get the sense it's very much like it's turning into the Martin O'Neill era. I mean, I don't think Martin O'Neill was near the place during the week. I think he showed up on Friday to do his press conferences, and Walford and Robertson would take the training all week.
Mm-hmm.
I get the sense that it's beginning to go, you know, you see Lennon on the training pitch. Obviously, he lives in Glasgow. I think O'Neill was down south in the latter part of his tenure. But, I'm sure the coaches are a sufficient standard. I mean, I don't know if Gavin Strachan's any better or any worse than Damien Duff. But I don't think it really matters. I think they're all of a certain level, which is great. But Lennon's a real captain of the ship, in the way that Martin O'Neill was the real captain of the ship. I think that's what matters. And
folk who haven't seen that video would be interested in hearing, you know, the origin. How does Strachan end up at Celtic? And he did his A license with John Kennedy, I guess, at Largs or whatever. So it's Kennedy's reference. You know, he's a guy that's kept in touch with him. He's gone away, had a presumably a solid coaching career, and he's been the guy that's been brought in to, you know, to do the job. So that's quite interesting. You know, I was not a fan of his dad at all. I loved him for 18 months when he basically didn't make a mistake. Then he signed Gary Caldwell and all went to shit. But, you know, just hoping there's no son of Caldwell to sign, you know, will give him all the time in the world to do a good job, you know.
It's certainly the videos from training, he's right in the middle of it. He really is right in the middle of it. So we'll see. Again, I think it's very much coming from Lennon. And for every passing week, my admiration of Lennon just goes up and up. I can't believe you were so against him coming back, Harry. That's so disloyal.
But you know,
Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, I do think your point, you mentioned Ferguson there. I do think he's going down, and the Martin O'Neill thing, I think he's going down that route of, if the manager's a bit more detached from the team, the words that he has have a bit more impact because he's not there every day, and he's got a bit more of an aura and a presence because he's not there on the training pitch every day. And I think he's seen that. And the other thing that I thought was interesting at the end of season stuff, when he said, was it Lennon? It was something on Mialbi asked him about shouting at players. And again, he said, young people don't get shouted at anymore. All through their education, people sit down and have a conversation with them. So you've got to change. You can't expect them to behave to fit to you. You've got to adapt and change to fit to the way that they expect you to be.
The only thing about that, I saw all this stuff and I'm thinking that, but then when Mikey Johnson came off, remember he stayed on, said he was all right? That was it, Johnson, wasn't it?
I get the impression that was in the heat of the moment of then, that I get the impression that once they were in the dressing room, that didn't happen.
You'd hope so.
Yeah, it's slightly sunk the Neil Lennon's a new person ship, that one. Go on.
I'm now going to say, because we're talking about signing players, I'm now going to say, show my ignorance, I can't even remember the name of the midfielder that we signed in January.
Sorrow,
that was it. Has there been anything of him on Celtic TV?
I was just going to say, posted missing. So I hope he's not another Who was the boy I loved? He went to Ghent or Genk.
I've forgotten him. Ukraine.
Oh my God, that's really bad.
Kouassi.
Yeah. Yeah. They sold Hadji to Rangers to get the money to sign Kouassi.
I was laughing with the Rangers pal about Hadji. I think a rubbish signing, and all that money, and he threw it back in my face. Well, what about the boy you signed, the Sora boy? I mean, he has been posted missing, and there's been he said no profile, which is quite interesting.
Yeah, disconcerting.
It's a hard one for him to. Do you know what I mean? With Brown, I love Brown, but Brown's 35 now. Of any player who's 35, can you be starting a season with your centre mid, a 35-year-old in modern football? I mean, he's played so well in the last couple of years, but there is games like there is games that have passed him by. So he's such a big character. We need him to be there for 10 in a row. So it is the hardest position to fill. I don't think Kouassi was ever going to fill anyone's boots. Was he ever really given the chance? Was it injuries? I don't know. So it's not an easy one for Storo to come in and just say, right, out the way. Because Brown's not going to let that happen.
But if he was good enough, you would think. Anyway, it seems pretty clear to me that... Do you follow Juco James on Twitter? He's based in America. He's a good, really good stats guy. He's on a rant, a constant statistical rant about Brown's diminishing contribution and how we really need to start thinking about moving him out a little bit and putting McGregor in that role, in the Pirlo role.
Do you know one of the things it was a dawning on me, and I said it in the very last podcast when we did the 9 in a row series things that I did. See, looking at the positives and the negatives of Jock Steen's era during that 9 in a row, and looking at players that he held on to and players that he jettisoned, and then what Alex Ferguson always said he learned from Jock Steen. If you... Again, based on those stats you've just said, you would drop Brown. See, that was the conclusion I came to at the end of the 9 in a row, because the whole problem right at the very end of our 9 in a row was actually that Jock Steen changed from the guy he was in the late 60s and early 70s, who did jettison the Lisbon Lions possibly 9 months before. People thought they were still at the top of their game, and then they went to a new club and then were finished within a year. And it was only with hindsight you would look back and go, he did it at just the right time. And then right at the very end of his period, he didn't do it, so Billy McNeil stayed. And things like that. And I remember right at the end of that series thinking, so you ditched Scott Brown.
The only thing is, and it applies to Billy McNeil as well, what does Scott Brown bring to the club apart from, his playing contribution? He sets a tone at the training. I keep going on with these training videos. It's insane. The height of winter, it's lashing down, and he's standing there with his short sleeve top on. And I know all the players, you talk to media and you have to say certain things. But the stuff that they all say, these guys, all the guys who are leaving, it was Scott Brown's birthday a couple of weeks ago or whatever, and he retweeted or whatever he called it on Insta, all the players that he'd been at Celtic who were wishing him birthday wishes. And it was high quality players who've gone on to really good things, saying really good stuff about Scott Brown. You don't have to do that. So my sense is that he brings a lot more to the club, and just in terms of setting the tone, this is what we're about. And you maybe want to take a little bit more of, so his role is diminishing, his contribution's diminishing. You kind of cut him a tiny bit of slack, I think.
Have you watched The Last Dance, Anthony?
Yes.
Yeah. See, obviously, Michael Jordan's a, or, you know, in relative terms, a superior player to Scott Brown. But see some of the things that people were saying about Michael Jordan, about his mentality once he was on the training ground or on the pitch, and it's what you hear people saying about Scott Brown. That was one of the things that struck me watching that. So you're right, Lawrence. It's what he also brings.
Absolutely. But the thing is, I'd happily, if we were playing Rangers tomorrow, I'd want Scott Brown starting. But if we were playing, I don't know, Clyde tomorrow, I'd want Brown starting. But if we were playing Clyde tomorrow and then the Huns in 3 days' time, I wouldn't want him starting both. You know, that's the thing we need to plan for. So have him fresh for a game against the Huns so he can go in and just tear into them. Or, you know, use him for the games where he is going to run it. But you can't overstretch him is the point, obviously, for any 35-year-old. And we just need to be aware of that.
Well, I think they just have to cut his minutes.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not an insult to say, hey, Scott, take a few games off here, especially as we have a ready-made replacement. I mean, McGregor is the man. Carries the same amount of respect. He's a great footballer. He's actually, you could argue, he's a better footballer than Scott Brown. He's certainly better going forward. Doesn't give the ball away. Maybe not as stout defensively, but he does a decent enough job. But we have to cut his minutes. We have to preserve him because we want him around. For the reasons you're stating, Anthony. Interesting times, though, Harry.
It certainly is interesting times. On your season book thing, the last number I heard, we sold 45,000.
Yeah.
Now we've got 52,000. I tell you where I think our big problem will come. It'll be in the corporates. See, getting back to our Google thing on the jersey, all the corporate seats at Celtic are Jimmy Smith and Son. They're all small, successful in greater Glasgow small businesses, and they're all the people who have been utterly devastated by the economics of the situation. I think that's where we'll have the issue. We've got 52,000 season book holders, so if we're at 45,000, Rangers are just selling it in a different way to us. That's all.
Absolutely. Well, I might step in for a corporate box. I'll give you £100 for a corporate box, Peter. How about that? I heard you can't get anybody.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Celtic Underground, you can get a corporate box. That'd be brilliant.
I think he'd rather have it empty than sell it for £100. I think that's Peter's. Anyway, enough of that. I think that's an hour and 20 minutes, so we've managed to talk about nothing happening in particular for an hour and 20 minutes, so... With that, I will see Lawrence and Anthony. Thanks very much.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
So I hope you enjoyed all that chat from Anthony, Lawrence and the gang, and myself. That is the gang. Anyway, so thanks everyone who leaves comments and rates us on iTunes. YouTube's a popular place for people leaving comments. We do pick them up and I do read them. We will have more podcasts launch soon. Happy birthday to Eddie Pearson, if you've still listened this far. He was 50 last week. There are other birthdays coming along soon. Other birthdays can be had from additional suppliers. Hope everyone's staying safe. And we've got the fixtures up. And miraculously, the Huns are complaining because we keep getting games at home when we start the season. Anyway, enough of me. That was me, Harry Brady, with Lawrence Donegan and Anthony Murray.
I'll get rid of all your fucking listeners, that's for sure, for the end of this.
In your smile, bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love.